Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Anyway, let's move on for the moment, because a one-stop shop for patients with asthma and COPD has opened its doors to the public. It comes in the form of care hubs, which are helping thousands of patients to be treated closer to home by specialist respiratory teams. For more on this, I'm joined by Professor Stanley Miller, who's HSE National Clinical Lead for Respiratory. Professor Miller, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Cormac, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm intrigued by this, I must say, because I would have thought that if you're a patient of COPD or asthma, but particularly COPD, that you'd want your treatment in a hospital or very close to something like it.
Yeah, well, really what we're providing now is trying to bring care closer to where people live, in line with the Sláinte Care vision of right care, right place, right time. And what we're trying to do is bring care away from the acute hospitals, which are very, very busy, closer to the patient's home. So the care hubs that you alluded to, the integrated care hubs, are affiliated to an acute hospital. And what we have now in place is whereby GPs are actually seeing patients with COPD or asthma routinely. And even before the patient goes to the GP, we're trying to empower them to live well with their chronic disease. And that's the real foundation of what we're trying to achieve. So patients have access to the HSE Living Well program, HSE Smoking Cessation Services, the COPD Support Ireland and the Asthma Society of Ireland, as well as the Alpha One Foundation, provide services with patients to live well with a chronic disease.
Okay.
The GPs then are seeing the patients routinely, and if our GP colleagues then need to refer for specialist care, they're referring to the single point of referral, which is an integrated respiratory service, and they refer to the integrated care hub. But that opens up all possibilities for the patient, and basically the care needs are tailored to their individual, the care program is tailored to their individual needs.
Okay, so There are two questions that I have. How do you live well? What's the advice on living well with COPD or asthma, for example? And then I have a question about the care hub. But what's the advice then, first of all, for living well with COPD?
Okay, so really with COPD, it's about staying active. Because if we don't stay active, our muscles can get a bit weaker. And if our muscles are weaker, then we have to put more effort in when we're trying to do something. So someone who's short of breath, if they aren't staying active and then they have to put more effort in when they want to do something, yeah, they will feel more short of breath. So staying active is really key. And then the smoking cessation. And it's not just regular cigarettes we're talking here. Mm-hmm. We're talking regular cigarettes and e-cigarettes. And then I alluded to our patient advocacy group. COPD Support Ireland actually provide exercise groups for our patients. The Asthma Society of Ireland provides a helpline for both COPD and asthma patients. So these are all things that we can do to live well with our chronic disease.
Now, if a GP says, look, you better get yourself to a care hub, what do patients find in a care hub?
Okay. So when the GP refers, the GP is referring to a service that has various different aspects to it. I'm actually one of the integrated care consultants that works both in the Mater Hospital and its associated integrated care hub, which is St. Clair's Integrated Care Centre on Griffith Avenue. So the GP referring a patient, the patient will have potential access to an integrated consultant respiratory clinic, to pulmonary rehabilitation, which is a structured program, 6 to 8 weeks, where patients can go, learn about their disease, but also do exercise tailored to their needs. It reduces shortness of breath. It improves their quality of life. They also have access to nurse and physiotherapy-led clinics. And even if a patient is seen first by a specialist nurse or a physiotherapist, we always discuss patients' cases at a multidisciplinary team meeting, where myself as an integrated consultant would give a specialist opinion. A patient may also be sent by their GP, not just for the treatment, but also to aid in their diagnosis. So a GP who suspects COPD in someone perhaps who's a smoker, short of breath, that they actually may well refer them for a test called spirometry, which is a breathing test, which will also confirm the diagnosis for the GP. So they may well have tests performed in the integrated care hub too.
It just strikes me, Stanley, this seems far more efficient and far more effective for the patient. I just wonder, is it having an effect on the waiting lists in acute hospitals?
Yeah, so, you know, if you were to give my that multidisciplinary team meeting that I alluded to in my integrated care hub, when you look at the year, there was 320 referrals made to our integrated care service. Those referrals would otherwise have been historically referred to a consultant-led hospital clinic. Of those 320 referrals, I only actually needed to see 40.
Wow.
The rest of them, 270, 280, they were seen by specialist nurses, specialist physiotherapists in the integrated care hub, obviating the need for a hospital outpatient appointment. So, yes, and then we can think about the emergency departments. If we get this right and our patients are living well, GPs are seeing patients routinely, they've got access to our respiratory services in an integrated care hub, you can see that that will potentially have a knock-on effect on reducing ED attendances and hospital admissions. Now, we're starting to see that now, but as the services build and build over time over the next few years, we'll even see it to a greater extent, avoiding these hospital admissions. You know?
Okay. Can I go off on a little tangent here for 1 second before we finish, Sandy? And I think you mentioned it, it's not a complete tangent, but you mentioned smoking, the cessation of smoking and other nicotine products. Do you mean vapes? And are you seeing vapes having an impact on patients with respiratory conditions?
Yes, and you know, we use the term e-cigarettes, or obviously the common parlance is vaping or using vapes. There are some concerns about e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes aren't harmless. They're less harmful potentially, but they're not harmless. The longitudinal health, that the effects on people's health over time aren't yet understood fully. These e-cigarettes are very potent triggers of inflammation, so they actually worsen patients with asthma, they worsen their symptoms. And then there's a real concern that e-cigarettes may represent a gateway to smoking. If you look at 15 or 16-year-old teenagers who have peers, the majority of which smoke, are at increased risk of smoking. Teenagers who have no friends who smoke are at reduced risk. When you look at actually 15 or 16-year-old teenagers that smoke e-cigarettes, they are 6 times more likely to become regular cigarette smokers. That is a real concern.
Okay. Look, I was really interested to see how these care hubs would work, and you've given us a really good rundown on how they operate, and thank you for that. HSE National Clinical Lead for Respiratory, Professor Stanley Miller, thank you for that.